Welcome to Friendship with God with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor. Today's message and previous messages can be listened to or downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. Friendshipwithgod.org. You can also obtain free resources from Tom Cantor and view our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org or call us at 800-247-3051, 800-247-3051. Tom Cantor also has a daily devotional verse that comes out each day by email and on Facebook. To receive this small daily devotional verse that Tom Cantor puts out, you can sign up at friendshipwithgod.org, friendshipwithgod.org, or find Tom Cantor on Facebook by searching for Tom Cantor and Friendship with God. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor.
Who gave us the authority? So who gave the authority to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that was a challenge of Moses. Moses was challenged with the same question in Exodus 2:14. In Exodus 2:14, when he came to the Jewish people, they didn't accept him. He said, and they said, the one of the Jewish people there said to Moses, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" Moses feared and said, "Whoa, the thing is known." Who gave this authority? Was the question that's always come down. Who gave this authority to Moses? Who gave this authority to the Lord Jesus? Who gave this authority to the Lord Jesus? That's the question. The answer is in Psalm 2, Psalm 2, verse 6. The answer, who gave the authority to the Lord Jesus, is Psalm 2, verse 6. "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, this day, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel." Who gave the Lord Jesus authority? Psalm 110, verse 1 answers the question, which he actually brought up to them. And they asked it, and he said, "How sayest thou, the Lord said unto my Lord," Psalm 110, verse 1. "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies." He answers the question in John 5:26. John 5:26, "The Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and have given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man." When the people heard these kind of things, it says in Mark 1:27, they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." They do obey him. Now, the Lord Jesus had all this authority, and the question is, what did he do with the authority? Did he just set himself up as a king so he would be set and he would have people serving him? It says clearly what he did with this authority in Mark 7:37, "And were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the blind to hear and the dumb to speak." What he did with the authority? He healed. He had authority. He had power. He healed. In Matthew 8:29, it reads, "Behold, they cried out, saying," these are the demons, "they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" What did he do with this authority? He cast out devils. What did he do with this authority? What he did with the authority is given to us in Genesis 3:15, where he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What we're finding here in the book of Revelation is the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. All started back there in the beginning with the fall of man in Genesis 3:15, when there was a prediction of how he would crush the head of the devil. And now we come all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation 12:9, where it says that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then what he's going to do with this authority is given to us in Revelation 22. Revelation 22, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. With his authority, the devil will be bound. He will bind the devil for 1,000 years. And he gives us this authority as well. It says in Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. So there he is. There he is, becoming a person just like us, a man just like us, so that in as man he might destroy him that had the power of death. He might destroy the devil. In other words, Satan came first to man in the garden and took advantage of the vulnerability there, and so caused man to enter into death, to fall. And so the Lord Jesus says, inasmuch as you caused the fall of man, I as God will become a man so that I could cause the fall of you by man. And that's what he did. And then what happened, and in this process, it says in Hosea 13:14, he said, I will ransom them from the power of death. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. So that's where now we get to Revelation 20, verse 10, where it says, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented forever and ever. That's death and hell. That's the fulfillment of what he promised back in Hosea 13:14. Again, Revelation 20:14, it talks about death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So, what we find now is that this old enemy, it's not a new enemy, the old enemy, the devil, the devil that from the beginning, as it says in Revelation 12:9, he's called that old serpent. That old serpent, the old enemy, as he's called in 1 John 3:8, he that committed sin is of the devil. The devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. When the Lord was speaking to those who wanted to kill him, he said in John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. So this is our enemy. Our enemy is the one who caused Adam to fall. He has never gone away. He's still there. He's opposing us. He hinders us. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, it says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. That's the source of when we are hindered. The word devil, it means diabolos, and it means the slanderer, the one who speaks against us. You know, it comes that diabolos has the word ballus in it, like a ball. And so he's constantly throwing slander like a ball. And this is the first picture we see of the devil. When we look in the Bible, he is a slandering person in Genesis 3:1. Genesis 3:1, it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God really said, he didn't say really, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What is this? This is a case where the devil is stepping in there and says, no, 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 no. God is not trying to protect you. God is trying to harm you by restricting from you what is good. This is the first picture in the Bible that we see of Satan. He's slandering God. He's slandering God before men. And then we see the devil in Job chapter 1, verse 9. Job chapter 1, verse 9. Again, he's up to his slandering business, where it says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's slander. That's the devil throwing the ball of slander at Job and say, he is a curser of you, God. He will curse you to your face. This is the picture we have. The next picture we see of Satan is when he's talking to God. And again, he's saying to God, no, 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 no. Job doesn't love God. Job loves what God does for Job. And Job's love for God is only as thick as what Job has by way of possessions and blessing. That's the only reason why Job loves God. Come on, it's only because you've given him a great family, you've given him possessions. Take it away, and you'll get the answer to the question that later you'll ask Peter. Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now, by the way, this is why you and I suffer the loss of loved ones, the loss of health, the loss of possessions, the loss of good plans for the future. Because the devil is slandering us and God and slandering us and our, the slander is to God. And the devil is constantly saying to God about us, he only loves you because of what you've given him. He only loves him because you've given him loved ones that love him. You've given him good, you give him great health. He's got a lot of stuff. He's got a great future. But let take it away. And you'll see he doesn't love you. That's the devil. That's the slanderer. That's the one who's accusing man to God. The devil slanders God to man, and the devil slanders man to God. That's what he does. That's why he's called the devil, because he's the slanderer. And he's constantly looking for his next opportunity. As it says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. When it says that the devil is walking about, it means the devil's in a constant state of restlessness. He's in a constant state of searching. He's described in Matthew 12:43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through the dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He's always looking for where he can rest himself with a new slander. When they bring about a new challenge, it's only because he's healthy. Take the health away. Give him chronic fatigue syndrome. And like the woman in Luke 13:16, where she was for 18 years, she was in a state that was caused by the devil, a health state caused by the devil in Luke 13:16, and where the Lord said, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whose Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. For others, it's a painful chronic health condition, like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, where it says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, where Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For the lost, the devil is the one who's constantly setting traps to keep them away from the Lord Jesus. It says in 1 Timothy 2:26, that they may recover themselves out of the snare, out of the trap of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And what this does is that this causes people to end up in a state, the lost to end up in a state that is described as being turned aside. Turned aside. 1 Timothy 5:15. 1 Timothy 5:15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. For others, the devil cast them into prison. We have been, we've heard this morning about Leah in Nigeria, who's been cast, so to speak, into the Boko Haram prison. Others cast into other prisons. Who does that? Revelation 2:10. Revelation 2:10. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall suffer. You shall have tribulation. 10 days be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. For others, the devil causes people to lie to God. To lie to God. That was the accusation that Peter said to Ananias in Acts 5:3. Acts 5:3. Peter said, Ananias, why had Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Keep back part of the price of the land. For others who might believe the Bible, otherwise might believe the Bible, but might be saved, the devil comes and snatches the word of God right out of their hearts. And he causes people to just not give the Bible a second thought. Have people say, I've been there, done that, went to church, okay, gone. Went into that booth. Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away out of their hearts, the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Just substitute the word, the root meaning for the word the devil in all these verses. Like, for example, in 1 Peter 5:8, 1 Peter 5:8, which is one we already covered, the root meaning, see how this one looks, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the slanderer, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Why have I gone through all this? Because it creates the backdrop for what the Lord has done for us in Revelation 12:10, when it says that the devil just didn't just accuse us as in the past tense, but in the present tense, he's constantly accusing us. He doesn't just accuse us once and then he goes away. He's all the time continuing to accuse us, and he has a lot of ground. He has a lot of ground. Unfortunately, we give him ground to accuse us. Especially when we don't keep short accounts with God. And you can imagine how the devil is right there saying, look at that, he sinned. He hasn't confessed that to you. Don't give him any ammunition. And he's accusing us because what we don't see is this war that's going on, war on the saints. In Revelation 12:7 says, there was war in heaven. That means that there's a war on earth with the devil. And if you just said, you know, I'd rather just not be involved with the war, you know, who needs it? I think I'll just have lunch instead. You know, and let those other hardcore Christians be in the holy war. I'm the conscientious objector. I don't want to do it. It's not from me. I'm Jewish. Apart from Steven Seagal, Jews don't do war. For those who take that position, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there's no discharge in that war. There's no discharge in that war. There's no honorable or dishonorable discharge in that war. There's no opting out of that war. Like it or not, the devil is waging a war against all of us. And it means that we are in a holy war with the devil. The Bible does not say some of you, some of us are wrestling. It says in Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness is in the high place. We must all wrestle. We all don't overcome, but we all wrestle. We are all soldiers, and we follow our captain, who is described for us in Exodus 15:3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. We're all soldiers. Each one of us in this room, we are all soldiers. Just like the child's song, I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. And we all have to fight, because to retreat from this war is to be overcome. You can't run away. You know, during the war, one of the wars between the many wars between the British and the French, it was in their blood. They had warring all the time. Anyway, one of the wars between the British and the French had captured a young British drummer boy. He was a drummer. And he was commanded by the French to use his drums to beat out the sound of retreat so the British would retreat. And you know what this little boy said? Told his enemies, I don't know how to use my drums to sound the retreat because the British do not retreat. And there's no retreat for us either. There's no retreat for us in this war. That's why it is so wonderful when we read about overcoming by the blood of the Lamb. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's by the blood of the Lamb. And in 1 John 5:4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, like the hymn. Faith is the victory. So again, now as we come to the Lord's table and remember that one of the great benefits of the blood, one of the great parts of behold the blood is this morning, behold the blood that overcomes the devil. They overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for mighty, mighty blood of the Lamb. And Lord, now as we come to your table, we, Lord, pray that we might be wholeheartedly conscious of and thankful for the blood that overcomes the devil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Another wonderful day studying the Bible with our Bible teacher, Tom Cantor, here on Friendship with God. Don't forget that today's message and previous messages can be listened to and downloaded for free at friendshipwithgod.org. Friendshipwithgod.org. You can also go online to find free resources from Tom Cantor and our online bookstore at friendshipwithgod.org. You can also find Tom Cantor on Facebook, and you can also go to friendshipwithgod.org and sign up for his daily devotional. Tom Cantor is also the founder of Israel Restoration Ministries. You can visit that website at IsraelRestorationMinistries.org. You can write to Tom Cantor at P.O. Box 711-330, P.O. Box 711-330, Santee, California. Santee, California, 92071. Or email Tom Cantor at tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org. tomcantor@friendshipwithgod.org. Or for more information about Tom Cantor and Friendship with God and Israel Restoration Ministries, call us at 800-247-3051.
Reach Israel. Join Tom Cantor for the second annual Israel Restoration Ministries Jewish Evangelism and Training Conference in San Diego, California, February 22nd and 23rd at the Creation and Earth History Museum. Early bird registration, only $99, includes a two-day conference pass, meals, teaching, Creation Museum and Tabernacle admission, plus over $150 worth of equipping resources. Come hear Tom Cantor, Dr. Michael Brown, Dan Sered, and more on how we can reach the lost in America and Israel on February 22nd and 23rd. Call 619-599-1104, 619-599-1104, or sign up at reachisrael.com. That's reachisrael.com.
What are you doing Sunday nights? Join Friendship with God radio Bible teacher Tom Cantor of the Friendship with God Fellowship Church every Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. at the Creation and Earth History Museum in Santee, California. Watch and listen live around the world to Tom Cantor Sunday evening on YouTube.com. by searching for the Friendship with God Fellowship or by going to our homepage at friendshipwithgod.org.
Grow deeper in God's Word with the Friendship with God King James Version Study Bible prepared by Tom Cantor. This genuine lambskin large print study Bible features the history of Israel, full-color timeline and maps, frequently asked questions about the Jewish Messiah, prophecy and fulfillment study, Hebrew root notations and definitions, the life study of Joseph, and so much more. Order your copy today for only $49.95. That's $49.95, and receive a free personal signed copy by Mr. Tom Cantor, along with your name engraved on the cover. To order your Friendship with God Study Bible, call 1-800-247-3051. That's 1-800-247-3051. Or visit us at creationbookstore.com. That's creationbookstore.com.